1 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 8. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons, if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. And before we look at this passage, we'll just bow for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We believe it to be God's word written, inspired and inerrant, given of the Holy Spirit. And we ask now, Father, as we reverence you, that you would speak powerfully by your Spirit through your word to your people today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our subject for today is deacons. Deacons. If you're being asked to go and preach somewhere, you probably wouldn't preach on a passage like this, and probably even the deacons are saying, deacons. But it's a really, really important theme in Scripture. It's not the high Christology of Hebrews that we were delving into a while back, or it's not justification by faith in the book of Romans. So why is this theme important? Why must we give what is being said this morning our good attention? Number one, because it is God's word. It is all God's word. It is the apostolic word brought here through the Apostle Paul. And also because the gospel of Jesus Christ does not advance in a vacuum. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not advance in a vacuum, but through the church. Ephesians chapter 3. The church is not some amorphous mass of people around the globe running around like headless chickens. No, the church is made up of communities of people all over the world, properly ordered in those communities and serving Jesus there. In other words, what I'm saying to you this morning is that church is a thing. And the Bible teaches us that the church is to be a healthy thing. See, when we're small, we don't understand all that our parents have done for us. But as we mature, we come to understand that very thing. The foundations, the principles that they've given us to live by and how important they are. So too here. This is really important for a church to listen to what the Apostle Paul is saying here about the role of the deacon. I was sitting in my car at the traffic lights. I suppose it would have been quite odd if I wasn't sitting in my car at the traffic lights, but there we are. I'm sitting in my car at the traffic lights, and alongside me pulled up one of these supermarket online delivery vans. You know what I'm talking about. I won't mention the particular supermarket. But as I looked at it, it was in Filter Lane, and as I looked at it, I thought, it was absolutely filthy. I mean, really seriously filthy. It's the kind of van, when you looked at it, you'd say, that is a filthy van. And so I sat there. I didn't think about much more about it. And then he was in Filter Lane, so he shot off. And as he shot off, I noticed that on the back doors, someone had written this message. If you think this is filthy, you should see inside. And I thought, for all the millions of pounds that companies spend on image and advertising, One simple operational failure can undermine the message. Now, what's that got to do with deacons? I'm sure some of you can see where we're going here. The role of the deacon is a gospel one to ensure the sound operation of the local church in the spread of the message of the gospel for the blessing of many to the glory of God. Let me say that again. The role of the deacon is a gospel role to ensure the sound operation of the local church and the spread of the message of the gospel for the blessing of many to the glory of God. And so what I want us to do first off this morning as we look at the role of the deacon is to see it in its wider context. It is an absolutely vital, vital role. And in the providence of God, tomorrow evening, the deacon search group will reassemble as we begin the process, not of finding new deacons, as if they're kind of hiding in the building somewhere and we've got to ferret them out. No, what we're doing is we're recognizing deacons and appointing them. We're looking for the kind of people who are doing the deacon stuff just now and just bringing them on board formally with that. Notice that the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, lays the emphasis, as with the elders, not so much on what deacons do, because the Bible actually doesn't tell us very much about what deacons do, but upon the kind of godly, gospel-informed people that they are. The principle is to look primarily, not for people who can do things, but for people who are things, like gospel-centered, and therefore Christ-focused. People who look and sound like Jesus, who came into the world not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, Matthew 20:18. Servant-hearted people who love Jesus. God the Holy Spirit has ordained two offices in the church, that of elder or bishop, overseer or pastor, all the same role, and that of deacon. Verse 8, the word in Greek is diakonos, which means one who renders service. The scope of the diaconal role encompasses everything outside of that of the elder role. But there are crossover aspects to the roles as well. So the role of the elder is the teaching of the word and the oversight of God's people. But part of that oversight involves caring for God's people as well, and elders do that, and so do deacons. So you may not know, but every second month we have a Zoom pastoral meeting for the deacons. And many of the deacons will come on, and I'll go down a list, and we'll think about people that maybe need some help or support or encouragement. And we do that. That's a diaconal role, but it's also an elder role as well. It is not about status. It never is in the church. It is about service. So you don't have the elders up here and the deacons down here. They are both roles. It is about function for the health of the church. Deacons, we are told here, must exhibit character, verses 8 to 10. Heart and head. The primary emphasis, as I said, being laid, as with the elders, not upon gifting, but upon character, likeness to Christ. And secondly, competence, verses 11 to 13, godly giftedness, not just giftedness, but godly giftedness, not just doing things in the way that the deacon does things. The diaconal role is an enabling role to ensure the sound operation of the local church in the spread of the gospel for the blessing of many and to the glory of God. It is a wonderfully high calling. Now, some of you were asking, why is it in Central Baptist that we have women deacons but not women elders? Is that not inconsistent? Well, number one, if you want clarity in why we have male elders in this church, I would suggest that you go to our website, Central Baptist Church, Sermons Online, 17th of March, 1 Timothy 2, 8 to 15, because I'm not preaching that one again. Why do we have women deacons in Central? Well, it's because the Greek word rendered wives in verse 11, gynae, can also be translated women. I think it's more likely to mean women. And the word likewise that introduces the section when the Apostle Paul is talking about these female servants, that word is also deployed in verse 11, and that's where he's talking about the women servants. And so that suggests to us a third category of elder, of deacon, and of women deacons. Why would Paul instruct the women in the parallel way that he does if they had no diaconal role? It doesn't seem to make sense to me. And there is a parallel between verse 8 and verse 11. Now, look at your Bible here. You'll find this, I hope, interesting. And see how the way that Paul speaks to deacons generally and women in particular parallels. So look at verse 8. Deacons likewise must be dignified. Look at verse 11. So to the women, same word used there. Not double-tongued, verse 8. Now look at verse 11. Not slanderers. You see the correspondence? Not to be addicted to much wine, verse 8, but sober-minded, verse 11, as he speaks to the women. Not greedy for dishonest gain, verse 8, faithful in all things, verse 11. In other words, as Paul speaks to the women, he holds them to the same standards as the men. And that's a significant parallel. Also, and very importantly, the appointment of women deacons does not damage the pre-fall creational headship pattern that Paul uses in his argument in the previous chapter in 1 Timothy 2, 12 to 14. So it does no damage to that to have women deacons. And so, guided by the words, we appoint women to the diaconate. Not because we're being pragmatic, but because we're seeking to be biblical in what we do. Faithful evangelicals differ on this. And that should tell us that in an area like this, there is a need for humility. For instance, some of us enjoy going to Keswick every year, and sometimes we listen to Alistair Begg. Well, Alistair Begg would say no to women deacons. John Piper, someone who has phenomenal influence in my generation, he says yes. Ligon Duncan, a well-known Presbyterian pastor in the USA, he says no. John MacArthur, he says yes. So at the very least, this teaches us that there is a need for humility. The appointment of deacons is not nearly so impactful as the appointment of those who teach. And so this is where we land, and I'm quite comfortable where we land on this. So first of all, then, character, heart and head. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Dignified, honorable, worthy of respect. I am old enough to remember when Baptist deacons, some of them used to wear black jackets and striped trousers. That's when deacons were deacons and churches knew it. That's on the agenda for the next deacons meeting. Sorry. But the issue here is not about what is worn, but about what is held. What is held with integrity and dignity in serving Christ. Not double-tongued, two-faced, disingenuous, not addicted to much wine, having self-control, not greedy for dishonest gain. We must be able to count on those who count the offering. Character matters, says Paul. So I want to say to you as a church family this morning, encourage our deacons. Encourage our deacons. And encourage those who are not formally recognized as deacons but are doing a diaconal work like building maintenance and technical ministry, whatever it is. Encourage deacons especially. Why? Because their work, unlike mine, is often unseen. You see, take this the right way. Deacons are like shock absorbers, all right, in a church. Deacons are like shock absorbers. You don't notice them all the time when they're there, but you certainly notice when they're not there. Because we wouldn't be here in this place worshiping the way we do without the service of our deacons. Their service is crucial. Running a church is a huge task. Finance, keeping the books, presenting the budget, paying bills, gifted stipends and salaries, personnel contracts, employment responsibilities, safeguarding, and other charity administrations, office volunteers, and a myriad of other tasks are carried out faithfully by the deacons of this church. And we honor those who serve. They must also hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Verse 10, and let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless, of good character, not perfect. Deacons are not just to be servants, they are to be gospel-informed servants. They need to be clear on the gospel and to hold that teaching with a clear conscience. In other words, not just say that they believe, but actually believe. The mystery of the faith references the deep truths of Jesus' revelation. Colossians 1, Paul writes of his own apostolic ministry that it was to make the word of God fully known, the mystery, in Greek, mysterion, hidden for ages and generations, now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. Again, the same word that's used, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so deacons are instructed not just to carry a weight of tasks and work, but to carry in their ministry a sense of the wonder of Jesus that becomes the motive force of what they do, because they recognize how astonishing this revealed mystery of Jesus Christ is. And it causes them to work well for Jesus and to keep going on it. To keep going. Secondly, competence. Let deacons, verse 12, be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Now, having just established that there were women deacons here, doesn't verse 12 just sink that one to the bottom? A deacon must be the husband of one wife. Well, no, because the issue here is one of monogamy or serial monogamy. At this time in history, there were, in areas of the Roman, Greco-Roman world, laws that indicated one man and one woman, but it wasn't the same in every place. And some men had multiple wives in that culture, but no women had multiple husbands. So that's why Paul says what he does. So what Paul is looking for is integrity in the area of marriage. So to those who were husbands, the message is one of proper, not serial monogamy, and of good management in the home. Home is to be the testing ground for service in the church. And of course, at this time, remember, the church in Ephesus, to which this letter is written, to Pastor Timothy, they would all be meeting in people's homes. They wouldn't have church buildings like ours. And so it'd be pretty easy for the church to see how a deacon was operating at home. Then Paul says, for those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. We remember that people are watching, listening to our words. Faithful service derives a good standing. Now, that's not why we serve, in order to make a name for ourselves. What Paul is saying here is that someone who serves Jesus really well, as a byproduct of that service, does gain a good standing, an honored place. And we can see that in our fellowship, can't we? It's a beautiful thing to see. Christ-focused service, we know, is not a self-referential ministry. It's not about me, what I do and what I've done and all the rest of that. One of our colleagues in the team, he talks about his time in teaching and people who were, as he describes them, see me do wonders. Look at me, look at what I'm doing. It's not to be self-referential in that sense, but something that builds the church up. Following the Lord is a wee bit like riding a racing bike with the clips on your pedals. You're okay as you keep going forward, but if you stop and you can't get those clips off, you're going to fall. And so really what Paul is saying here is that those who keep going in their service for Jesus, in whatever shape or fashion that takes, will honor Christ and maintain. For those who serve well as deacons, gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus, because they can sense themselves moving forward in their faithfulness to Jesus. So they gain a good standing, but they also grow in their own confidence in who they are in Christ and the calling upon which he has placed upon them. So God, the Holy Spirit, has ordained two offices in the church, that of elder and that of deacon, one who renders service. As I said before, the scope of the diaconal role encompasses everything outside the elder role of word ministry and oversight, and therefore it is an absolutely huge role. Much, much more than would have been evident in Paul's day, with all the laws and things that we have to comply with these days. Deacons must exhibit character, verses 8 to 10, and competence, verses 11 to 13, with godly giftedness. Well, we've all met people who do stuff. We've all met people who are gifted, but their attitude stinks. Not so with the deacon. Deacons must always remember that they are to see their role in the wider setting of the spread of the gospel, because the diaconal role is an enabling one to ensure the sound operation of the local church in the spread of the gospel for the blessing of many to the glory of God. And we need them. Many moons ago, I was on sabbatical in Vancouver, and at that time, there was lots of books and talk about doing church in new ways. And instead of just being critical, I decided as part of my sabbatical to go over to Vancouver for part of the sabbatical, and then I drove down to Seattle, and then inland, about 10, 12 miles, to a place called Issaquah, where there was a new church plant, and this was a guy who was seeking to do church in new ways, and he was a faithful guy. He was just taking all the old terminology and trying to find new ways of describing what he was doing, but he was telling me about how he had planted a church in an amusement park, believe it or not, and he was seeking to reach people who wouldn't normally swim into your average evangelical church. Now, he was a faithful guy. He was preaching the gospel. But he didn't call himself pastor. I can't actually remember what he called himself. But he was telling me how, as the church began to slowly grow, suddenly he found his own role expanding and he was becoming overburdened. And he said, I just needed, and I said, deacons. And he said, no, we can't call them that. It's not cool enough. But you see, whatever you call them, you need them. And the Holy Spirit enabling them. And us, we pray for the progress of the gospel here in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here this morning, warm and well lit, because of our deacons. I'm standing here behind the microphone talking to you because of our deacons. I'm standing here and enabled to say to you, let's think about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Would you like to talk about him? We'd love to talk. Do you see the connection I'm making between the work of the deacon and how it works out in the message of the gospel? That I can stand here as a pastor and say to people, do you know Jesus? If you don't, would you like to? That goes back to the work of the deacon and the platform that the deacons provide for the message of the gospel to go forward. So encourage our deacons and pray for the deacon search group as we assemble tomorrow, that God would lead us and guide us to godly men and women who would help us further the cause of the gospel in Dundee.